go fast, cause Clipcast. Final Four in my dreaming. Tonight's a guest, right? See me on the podcast. They make me yawn. Clipcast on, so sound the horn. That's the sound of the horn. I'm your host, Chris Cowild. And with me, as always, is Burbank Hank.
Hey! Oh, Clippers fans, I'm so sorry. That's the end of our postseason run because apparently it's Suns in five. Oh my God. What I've heard for the last 48 hours, Suns in five.
After that hype new intro
Suns in five. It's too bad. We're done. That's all it is.
No, they said Suns in
four. We're done.
They said Suns in
four. Oh, sorry. We lost in four.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we lost in five.
No, we didn't.
No, we freaking didn't, Suns fans. Suns fans, we know you're listening because you don't have podcasts of your own.
No, they don't. They don't have a Suns cast.
You can come and listen to ours so you can talk trash. But bad news, we won.
Yeah, we won. And you can suck a bag.
Oh, no.
Of discs, records, DVDs, frisbees.
Oh, that was a big win. We went small. We went small. Not because Ty Lue made a great coaching move, but because we had to.
Yeah, but also Ty Lue.
Because
made a
both
great
of our bigs are now out injured. I want to remind you of something.
First game missed in 2 years.
Kawhi Leonard is our number one player out. Serge Ibaka is our number one center
out.
Ivica Zubac is our number two center
out.
Out. Right. I want to remind you of that as you sit here and realize that from 3-1, we're now at 3-2.
Yeah.
We come home on Wednesday, and it's time to take care of business and tie this series up. But, man, we got it done tonight.
So
and I'll tell
Clippers,
you, we're in the same Vivid Seat Studios tonight.
No, we're not.
Because Chris Cowild came over.
We're in the Burbank Studios.
And floated in my pool, and we did a dip cast. We brought the TV outside and watched the entire game floating in inflatable pool seats in my pool.
I really want to talk about Clippers basketball, but before I do, do you have a name for your studio? My studio at home is the Tiki Hut Studios.
Oh, mine. I don't have a name for my studio. The Burbank Hank Studios?
I mean, I don't know. You tell me it's your studio.
I don't have a name for it.
What's that like? I'll never know. I have a name
you
know, for my
you
studio.
You named yours the Tiki Hut Studios.
Yes, I did.
I call mine my home office.
The home office studios.
I guess.
Hey, we're here
I guess
the
it's
home
Dawn Patrol Studios.
Dawn Patrol Studios.
There it is.
Well, which is it? Because you said two things.
It's Dawn Patrol Studios.
Hey, we're in the DPS, the Dawn Patrol Studios, deep in the heart of Burbank. And your Los Angeles Clippers have now won three more playoff games than any other Clipper team ever in the history of Clippers basketball.
Say
your
that
Clippers
again.
Have won three more playoff games than any Clipper team ever. And I want to expand upon this real quick, Hank. Kawhi Leonard, two seasons in, his first season, he got us as far as we've ever got to Game 7, Round 2.
Yes.
This is his second season.
Yeah.
This is your second season as the co-host of the Los Angeles Clipcast,
two,
LA
two.
Clipcast. 2-2. Toot your own horn.
I will.
As you should.
2-2.
Kawhi Leonard gets us to Round 2. 2-2, isn't that right? When he went down,
I think that's right.
2-2,
yeah, 2-2.
Round two, game four, it's 2-2. He goes down. He gets us almost as far as he gets us last year.
Yeah,
Paul George picks up
it's
the team
over.
On his shoulders.
He sure did. The much maligned and slandered
shoulders
Paul
of Paul George,
George.
Yeah, who you have this crazy stat that we're going to get into in a second, but without Kawhi Leonard, Paul George has led these Clippers to 4-3. Versus the number one seed in the NBA versus the number two seed in the NBA. And I want to talk to you about the Suns' W's. Have not been, like, yes, good for you. It doesn't matter. A W is a W, whether you win by 10, but you win by one. But all three of those Suns' W's easily, maybe should have been Clippers' W's.
Oh, I believe that at this point, even before tonight's game, we have outscored them on the series.
Yes, it was like 403-400 or 406-400.
Yeah.
And now we just
It's more like a 6-point difference. Yeah, we have been winning.
What did we win by tonight?
We've been winning the series. We've been winning the series.
Yes.
And we're doing that very shorthanded. By the way, in the first round of the playoffs, the Suns played the Lakers?
Hobbled Elward.
Minus their number two player, arguably their number one player.
Oh, 100% their number one player.
And then they played the Nuggets minus their number
two
player.
100% their
And so now they're playing us minus their number one player.
One player.
So there's a lot of people right now, a lot of NBA Twitter folks that are talking about like fake that ring this, all this, because every team is injured. Not every team is injured. There's one team that's 100% healthy, and it's the Phoenix Suns. And for some reason,
I don't know.
Their fans are the nastiest fans on Twitter. Like, putting out our podcast, and they are on us and at us. And it's like, hey, man,
they're aggressive.
We've been kind and lovely to Suns fans, and so that is why tonight I want to come very strong and say,
suck a bag.
Well, I have a lot of respect for you, Suns fans.
Suck a bag of
Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yes, Dick's Sporting
Goods. I don't like the trash talk. You know, I'm not a trash talk guy.
Yeah, but you haven't been to a home game.
I haven't been to a home game because I was on set for both those games.
Today, we got that W. We forced a game six. So tonight, you're likely hearing this the next day. So yesterday, for that W, was Farbod's birthday.
Happy birthday, Farbod. We love you, Farbod.
I have this great inside scoop about Farbod because he and I had a lovely phone conversation after the game four nightmare that I don't even want to talk about.
I don't want to talk about it.
Third grade basketball.
I was on set on a night shoot, and members of the crew were coming up and putting their hands on my shoulders. And we're just like, sorry, man.
Third grade basketball teams that have scored more than 14 in a quarter.
Most teams in the NBA these days score 30 points in a quarter easily. This was under 30 points. Both teams combined.
To be fair,
29 total points.
To be fair, Paul George tonight didn't average 14 a quarter with his 41 points. His best playoff performance in his career.
He got 14 a quarter average in the second half.
That's absolutely right. This is his third conference finals, I believe. I think he got to the conference finals twice with Indiana, and this is his first time back. He is playing lights out. There's this crazy statistic that everyone's screen grabbing that they posted on the coverage tonight, where he is in company with Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan,
yeah.
Kobe Bryant,
yeah.
Paul George. Just those four guys.
Only
four guys who have posted 20 or more points 18 playoff games
in a season.
Michael Jordan.
Jordan did it three times.
Kevin Durant.
Kobe did it one time. Durant did it two times. Paul George has done it one time.
So in
I'm
Los
so
Angeles,
curious if he does it again, how many did it 19 times?
In Los Angeles.
Same amount of guys? Same amount of times?
Who was the other guy who did it?
Kobe, rest in peace.
He's pretty good, right? He's a good player. I don't know that much about the other team.
One of the greatest.
Oh, but playoff P, pandemic P. So why is he in the conversation with Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Los Angeles basketball legend, and Kevin Durant, who is arguably the best player in the game right now?
Shooter, 100%.
Curry's the best shooter. He's the best player.
Amazing. You know, we play great. The other thing is you really got to see some of the weaknesses of the Suns.
Oh my God.
And I'll tell you what, we had Chris Paul for quite a long time. Uh-huh. He helped change
the culture.
Uh-huh. But I'll tell you, I've seen before what I saw tonight, mm-hmm. which is that Chris Paul cared more about flopping on the three-point line than making the three.
Oh yeah.
He went 0-for-6 from the three-point line.
No, he didn't make a single three.
And I will tell you,
he didn't make a single three.
He did not make a single three. And when there were two times that I can think of off the top of my head, and I bet if I went back and watched all his three-point attempts, they'd all be like this.
Kicked his legs
he
out,
never gave himself
fish.
A chance. Threw himself back fully, like on his back. Never gave himself a chance to make the three because all he was trying to do was draw the foul.
Right. Which he did versus Pat Beverly, not on a three shot, I believe. He drew a foul, fell hard on his back.
I think that was on a three.
And then he went and
shot. Three free throws.
Got three free throws. But here's the thing. He fell on his back, but since he's such a spineless piece of jellyfish, floppy
bag
of sporting goods.
Oh, come on.
It didn't actually hurt him because he has no backbone.
Well, he got very lucky that he fell on his glute from where I was watching as opposed to his tailbone because he fell from high and he bounced. If he'd fallen in between his two buttocks,
uh-huh.
and by the way, I apologize for saying buttocks to you, my broadcast partner, Chris.
Well, thank you very much, Max, bro.
If he had fallen flat on his butt, he would have broken his tailbone. He fell from high, dude. It was a little scary to watch.
He fell from on high many times.
But that was just an unfortunate thing. Pat Beverly came aggressively around the screen. I don't think this was a situation where Chris Paul went up and Pat Beverly dove into his legs. I really didn't see it that way.
No, not at all.
He just was coming around the screen. And also, Pat Beverly was taunting him, to be fair, it could have been a tech, taunting him about his fall. I didn't really feel necessarily on that one that Chris Paul was flopping, but he did kick his legs out, and he got it for that. He kicked his legs right into Pat Beverly as Pat Beverly was running past him, and he was trying to draw the foul, and guess what? He drew the foul, and he could have broke his tailbone. And I'm glad he didn't.
Okay.
You wish he had.
All right, so we've got a massive show. I don't know if you could tell from my scream rap at the top of the show, but Brian Seaman is our guest.
Oh, we love him.
Voice of the Los Angeles Clippers.
And a huge Clippers fan and a snappy dresser. And by the way,
it's a great interview you're about to hear.
Just a good guy.
He's a great guy. He's my man crush, and I'm sorry to say that in front of you because I think you thought you were my man crush for years, but you're not.
Brian
Seaman's my man crush.
I'm Brian Seaman's man crush?
No, that's not true.
You heard it here first, folks.
Maybe I ask him in the interview. I don't. Spoiler. Clipper Nation, this interview happened before Game 4. You're listening to it after Game 5. We are headed to Game 6.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Clipper Nation, it's a celebration, and here's the voice of the Los Angeles Clippers. Every Clippership needs able-bodied Brian Seaman. Brian Seaman. Seaman.
Oh, because you're a Seaman.
Clipper ship.
I see. I get it.
Brian Seaman.
All right. I'm here with the voice of the Clippers, Brian Seaman. This is our first Final Four ever. This is the best Clippers team in history. It's been a roller coaster ride. Can you tell me personally, because I know you're also a Clipper fan, what was the highest point for you and the lowest point for you in this playoffs?
Well, the lowest is easy. It's down 30-11 in the first quarter in Dallas. And I really thought for a good couple of minutes, like, this is going to be our end. We're going to be down 0-3. We're not going to come back. And my mind races in picoseconds of, all right, so what do we do? Front office isn't going to stand pat with this. What happens? And then before you know it, we're up by a couple. We're up by 10. We win the game, and then we win the series. The highest point, and I think everybody would agree, was Game 6, right? And against Utah. I've never been so proud to be a Clipper as I was on that night. And I'm always proud to be a Clipper, as you are too.
Yeah, baby.
When Pat Beverly started knocking down the threes, and obviously we saw Terrence Mann, but to me, Pat is, he's the tentpole of where this culture is at and why it is the way it is.
Yep.
And he hasn't been himself. He hasn't been himself really all year because of injuries. And that was, to me, the first time he was back and ready to play. And the fact that he made some big time plays down the stretch, I went from getting really excited when they were making that 25-point comeback to when they took the lead and it was for good. I was in disbelief and silent the entire rest of that fourth quarter. I will forget that it was a win to go to the conference finals. To me, it was the community that we are a part of, leaving here and seeing all the tribute videos of Let's Go Clippers. And I mean, it was unreal. Even
after literally dancing in the streets.
It was, I mean it, like, forget that that's what it was meaning. It just meant we do have a family. Yeah. This is a real place, and I don't want to be anywhere else.
I've never heard any sporting event that loud for that length of time. That 17-0 run, we all went to a volcanic-like eruption, but kept erupting.
Yeah.
Because I'd been to like a couple of NBA Finals games for this other team that plays in the same county as us. And they got loud after big shots and big moments, but not that extended dizzying period of insanity is what it was.
It was like one fed off the other. And I feel like the fans, they were just waiting to erupt. So I think it might have been just a 4-0 or a 5-0 run by Terrence Mann in the third quarter, just a personal run. And that just got everybody going. It was like we sensed the moment, and the crowd fed, and then the team fed them right back. It was such a cycle. We're going to go on to win titles with an S, plural.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
That night will be hard to replace. Just, again, the community doing what we did without Kawhi, down 25, first ever Western Conference Finals trip, and just being in the crowd and to be there. I'm telling you, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it now. I just love it, and I'm hoping that we have something special like that here tonight as we get ready for Game 4.
Well, thank you, Brian Seaman, voice of the Clippers. Hopefully your summer is going to start at the, I don't know, like 10 games from now or whatever.
So the final game of the finals would be July 23rd. So I legitimately have a plane flight to a Midwest town where I grew up in West Des Moines, Iowa for the 24th. So I've booked here for the long haul. We're going to get it done.
We're going the distance.
I feel good about it.
Absolutely, Seams. All right, man. Congratulations.
Always good to run into you, my man.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, Clips.
I love Brian Seaman. He's the best in the business. Ralph Lawler retired. I do want them to hang his number in the rafters. Maybe build him a statue. I just want that Clippers jersey with the 100 on the back of the jersey that says Lawler.
Yeah.
Hanging from the
rafters. Yeah, 100 for Lawler's Law.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Next to DeAndre Jordan's number 6.
But usually
Blake
you would
Griffin's
put a microphone instead of a number.
I know, but Lawler's Law.
What if it was a 100 and instead of the number 1, it's a microphone?
I promised myself I would cry.
That's pretty great, actually.
It's great.
That's pretty great. We should tell Seaman that and see if he can get it up to the higher ups.
Come on,
Clippers. They shot tonight, man.
Absolutely thrilled we won that game.
Let's talk about Paul George.
Please do. Is he your Hanks player of the game?
Oh, he is 100% my Hanks player of the game.
He's also my Hanks player of the game.
You don't get to have that.
My name is Chris Cowild, and my Henry Dittman Burbank Hanks player of the game tonight is Paul George.
Before you decide that people should talk too much trash about Paul George, let me inform you that he went 15 of 20 from the field.
Dang.
50% from three.
Shot 75%.
8 for 8 from the free throw line, 13 rebounds, and 41 points. Now, I will say this. He went. He had 6 assists and 6 turnovers.
Oh, stop.
But 6 assists to 6 turnovers, not, you know.
Whatever.
They kind of cancel out.
Yes, they do. How many rebounds? He definitely
13. All defensive.
Excuse me. That's
all
my
defensive.
PG-13.
Nobody wants you to burp into their ear.
My PG-13 rebounds.
I apologize to your sweet, sweet eardrums that you had.
Hey, speaking of sweet, sweet eardrums, it's me, Ralph Lawler. I'm in a lover's triangle with Sweet James and Sweet Joe. I want to talk about it, Mike Smith.
And also, Reggie Jackson came strong. 4 of 7
Amazing.
From three. Better than 50% shooting from the field.
So we are the furthest we've ever been. We're in together for the first time in the Final Four because you've been on the road. You and I are going.
We're not
to
getting
game
swept.
Six.
We're not getting gentlemen swept.
Absolutely.
And now we're going to even the series at home.
100%. We're going to win in 7.
And by the way, again, here's my question for you: Zubats does not get injured. Does Ty Lue make this move and go all small? Because Zubats was not effective in the right way against their bigs. Do you think he would have gone all
I
small?
I saw him get emasculated by DeAndre.
Boogie looked kind of nice.
All season, Zoo was getting out.
Cousins
7
of 12 from the field.
Amazing. How many guys in double digits?
And by the way, only 4. Only 2. Only
well,
0.
One of them got 41.
He shot 2 threes. He missed both of them. But one of them was
massive night.
Remember,
Mook?
One of them was in and out for Cousins.
All right, so let me guess who had the double digits. Paul George.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins, you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Marcus Morris Sr.
Yeah.
Which is massive because he's been a shadow of
himself. He was a plus 20. Tonight.
And then Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh.
23 points.
Pat Bev
5 rebounds.
So this is the furthest the Clippers have ever been. So now I'm going to talk to you about Clippers Mount Rushmore.
Isn't it so nice to be in the room with each other?
Oh, it's the best.
It's great. Talk about the Clippers Rushmore.
We're going to be in the room together Wednesday night for Game 6, Staples Center, downtown Los Angeles.
We really are.
Figueroa adjacent. So, personally.
This is my first Western Conference Finals game I've ever been to.
I've been to a couple. It's pretty special.
I'll never know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, I will on Wednesday.
The Suns fans are the worst.
I may prefer to stay in the press box and not deal with
them. No, because Suns fans can't afford good seats, so they're all up in the cheap seats.
Oh.
And they're really loud and really dumb. Farbod, who, again, happy birthday, not in Phoenix because he said, I don't want to go to Phoenix to celebrate my birthday. I said, bro, I'll see you Wednesday night for game 6. Oh, and by the way, happy birthday, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, same day.
Different day. So it's Farbod, and then in between game 5 and 6 is Kawhi Leonard. So whatever Tuesday is today, I guess, happy birthday, Kawhi Leonard. As you know, I'm Chris Cawild. All right, so Clippers Mount Rushmore. We made it to the Final Four. I'm still keeping Blake on the Clippers Mount Rushmore, but everyone else is tossed.
Great. Then it's easy.
So it's Blake, Kawhi, Paul George, and
Reggie Jackson.
Oh.
Because I think
that is easy.
And I think Reggie Jackson coming in so strong on the veterans minimum.
I never even knew
that. Is going that
is crazy.
To get a bag this offseason. He is going to get paid. Yeah, man.
He deserves it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Paul George and him are super friends, as we learned on the last episode of Clipcast.
Reggie Jackson has just been great.
Most threes in the playoffs.
Even most threes in the playoffs for any player, any team this season.
Yes.
Most threes.
Reggie Jackson.
I know.
Mr. June.
He's also a momentum shifter. I feel like he's a guy in the third quarter that'll come out of nowhere and drain a three and get us shooting again.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, except the games where you only get 15 points in the quarter.
We only got 14. They got 15.
Oh, no. Listen, this was a big win for us tonight. We need another big win on Wednesday. The good news is this small ball thing works. We really troubled them. We really bothered them.
I don't think Zoo plays game six. They shouldn't.
Well, they played Boogie, and he's a big.
I know. They went small for the majority
nice.
Of the game.
Zubac never got 15 points in
how
a game.
How many minutes did Cousins have?
Maybe he has gotten 15 points,
but
it's been a while.
I'm telling you, Zubac.
Actually, it's maybe been a while since Zubac got 15 points in a game.
He had three games where he was right around 13, 14, 15 points and 12, 13, 14 rebounds.
Really? Did he do it in 11 minutes like Cousins did
tonight?
No,
he did not. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's a 48-minute game.
With zero turnovers,
DeMarcus,
you think Zubac?
Cousins.
I'm not looking at the stats, but I can almost tell you right now, Zubac never goes zero turnovers.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't understand how to alley-oop dunk. He just doesn't.
He's going to. He's just young.
He's just a kid.
And by the way,
yeah.
Let's just really quickly preemptively strike here, fans. Mm-hmm. We are not the talk garbage about the Clippers podcast.
No.
That's not us.
No,
we're positive dudes. We're homers.
Right.
But the truth is, Zubac has some growing to do.
Oh, sure.
He's got some growing to do. And
also,
Boogie Cousins, take the injuries off of Boogie Cousins. The dude's an all-star.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's playing like one.
And
15 points in 11 minutes.
11 minutes, Hank. 11
and frankly, it could have been 20 points. He had two possessions in a row where the ball was like rattling inside the rim and bounced out.
So that's 11 minutes with an actual center and 37 minutes of a 48-minute game with no center. And
no
we
center.
Started
with Batum.
With four guards. We started with Paul George, Reggie Jackson, Pat Beverly, and Terrence Mann. Those are four guards.
And Marcus Morris as the five.
And Mook, who, by the way, we needed him.
Oh, needed
and we
him.
Came through. I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but I do know that the Clippers are undefeated in elimination games this playoffs. And Ty Lue is, I think it's something like 10-1 or 11-1.
Oh, you told me 70-1. Were you exaggerating?
Of course I was exaggerating. I was
so out of my mind excited after that game. We let me paint the picture for you.
Oh, do please do.
Chris drove up from Redondo Beach to the Dawn Patrol
Rajon
Studios.
Redondo from the Tiki Hut Studios to the
Dawn Patrol Studios, and came up and we got a couple of lounge floats.
Sure, we did. We took some Clippers dippers.
I brought a flat screen TV out of the studios and put it next to the pool.
Ah, so great. I got nervous because I thought I was going to splash the screen because I was so excited kicking and splashing.
It would have been okay if you did, I'm sure.
I believe that the Phoenix Suns only led by 1 point once and that's it. We cooked them in front of that.
I also have an
crowd.
Admission to make to the fans. And I will allow now for Chris to let me have it. I was beside myself, nervous, purvis throughout the entire game.
Even late.
Even with 3 minutes left, up 14, I was terrified. You're like, you must not be nervous now, heck. And I was like, hey, shut up.
I was floating like a Clipper ship.
Not me. Terrified.
Well, now we know the secret.
Terrified.
Game six. We got to bring in
just
some
bring
sort
pool
of inflatable
floats.
Pool
you
into
have to bring
the
pool
press
floats.
Box. And float and watch the game. By the way, I'm floating. I've been floating the entire postseason. This is the greatest postseason in Clipper Nation history.
It's all gravy because, frankly, the second that Kawhi went out,
sure.
The entire narrative, and we even off mic, we're like, well, I don't know how we do this without Kawhi Leonard.
Off mic, we said, I don't know how we do this down 0-2 versus Luka.
Yeah. We couldn't see it.
Luka.
We couldn't see it. And without Kawhi Leonard, forget it. And then without Serge Ibaka, then it was the back surgery and then Kawhi Leonard
sure,
went out?
Yeah, Serge.
But they
Serge
both happened
like
within a week of each
game,
other.
Maybe.
They went within a week of each other, we found out that both were out. And we're like, we don't see how this happens. But the truth is, now it's all gravy. It's all gravy. Like, right, we made it this far without our two starters.
A heavy, hard-hitting question for you to think about as we go to commercial.
Ooh.
Because it's a real toss-up, I think. but we'll see what you think. If Blake is off Clipper Mount Rushmore, because because this team goes to the finals and wins in seven, I Blake's off Mount Rushmore. Who's the fourth? Terrence Mann or Pat Beverly? We'll be back after this.
Well, I have to, if I have to select between those two, and it seems like I have to.
Well, who else would you
select? Well, Marcus Morris was great tonight.
Yeah, but
Marcus Morris was great tonight. Whoa, well, so, hey, Terrence Mann has not been
persistent.
Terrence Mann got 4 points tonight. So let's
39 to get us into
but you
the
see,
conference finals.
It's series to series, and part of that is the great coaching of Ty Lue. The different players play different series.
But you can't put
part
Ty
of
Lue
that
on
is the great GMing. Part of that is
Jerry
building
West,
a great team. Jerry West, Lawrence
Steve
Frank,
Ballmer.
Steve Ballmer, because you have enough players that you can swap around.
Why did you put my face up there?
But Marcus Morris had 22 points, and Pat Beverly, you're never going to get his stats. It's never going to be his stats. He's an energy guy. He's a leader of the team.
Ty Lue said
I
this
think
about
at
Pat
this
Beverly.
Point,
yeah.
I think at this point, the four that I would pull if right now I had to do a Clippers Rushmore of this season.
Okay.
But it would be Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Reggie Jackson, Pat Beverly. Because yeah. Terrence Mann really just had that huge game.
I would argue that.
He's been great.
I agree with you. And the reason why I agree with you is because Patrick Beverly is the longest tenured Clipper. Because Patrick Beverly was part of that come from behind in Oakland, beat the champs, crazy comeback. So Patrick Beverly is the backbone and lifeblood of that locker room and has been for years and years and years now.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It should be if Blake's off, which I think, by the way, I think Blake will be off if we win in seven. We go
now,
to the finals.
Now I also could backpedal a little bit and say it's Blake, not taking Blake off. Blake, Paul George, Kawhi, Pat Beverly.
Again, I would fight you to the death because Reggie Jackson
is so amazing. But I mean, it's
the goggles. How
it's
good
one season,
would that look
though.
On the mountain?
Oh, the goggles would be great.
Would it be like a viewing center? Like you climb into Reggie Jackson's head.
You can see through his eyes, just like you can see through the Statue of Liberty's
eyes.
Yeah,
like a big wraparound window in our Clipper Mount Rushmore.
Let's say, sure, why not? Who cares?
Well, Clippers Nation cares.
Clippers Nation would care.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think Pat Beverly. I think Pat Beverly for tenure. I think Pat Beverly for,
sure.
You know, but he was not great last series, and Mann was, and Mann's not been as great this series. But, you know, Mann's a kid. And also, I'll say what I've said several times before. You never needed a Luke Longley or a Tony Kukoc or a Rick Fox or a Derek Fisher or any of these guys on different championship, long-running dynastic
teams.
Because
we were always knocked out
to be great every
round.
Game. You need them to come up on one game.
Yes, absolutely. With
you
one
need,
shot.
Michael Jordan needed to be able to pass to Steve Kerr.
Sure.
One game.
Pax. Paxson.
Bill Paxson.
John Paxson.
John Paxton.
Will Paxton.
Will Arnett.
Will Ferrell. Get off the shit!
Bill Clinton.
William Dilbert Clinton. President Barack Obama was never on the Bulls.
This is we finished watching this game
in a pool
in my pool. Jumped out, I grabbed a towel and screamed expletives
into
it
the
at
towel.
All the haters.
Yeah, dude,
just all the haters.
Because so you were at,
I was on location shooting a TV show.
I know, but so round one.
Oh,
round one. You saw what the Dallas fans were like.
Yeah,
they all love Luka.
They were vocal, but not.
They were vocal
jerks.
They were not jerks.
Cheering for their team.
And remember, the Utah Jazz fans. And we talked to one, and I said, you know, you Jazz fans are better than the Dallas fans.
Yeah.
You have not. I'm telling you, Hank,
they're obnoxious.
You're not going to like it because they are loud and dumb. Farbod called them Chad Army, and he said, I don't want to go to Arizona on my birthday to deal with an army of Chads, which is basically like the guy
Karens.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are horrible nightmares of people. You have no idea what you're in for. So it's I don't know that
just
it'll
obnoxious
be these kind of
and
numbers.
Uneducated about basketball, but also they just never shut up to trash talk.
So for example, national anthem. And it's a good one. It's a doozy. This guy's going all over. He's got multiple octaves. He is a fabulous singer. He's crushing the anthem. Takes a breath from the cheap seats. Chad Army yells, screams out Suns in five or go Suns.
In the national anthem.
The national anthem.
By the way, you want to protest during the national anthem? Take a knee. Got no problem with it.
Sure.
Prefer you wouldn't scream out in the middle of the national anthem or moments of silence.
Yes.
These are.
Look at what Kaepernick did. Did he scream during the national anthem as his protest?
He did not.
No, and look at the uproar that it caused. But some Chad, angry guy who, it's not my fault you live in the desert on the surface of the sun, you jerk off. Don't come to Los Angeles and scream during the national anthem. Go Suns. It was horrible. So that's just one example. These people are terrible. One guy in front of me was wearing a Booker jersey. I tried to like just not be a complete jerk.
Yeah, we like to chat it up with away fans.
We like to make friends with them,
frankly. Talk a little basketball. A little friendly rivalry. But we never really trash talk with away fans.
I said to one guy who sat next to me game three where the good guys won. I said, well, why are you rooting for the Suns? You guys were just in the Western Conference Finals 11 years ago.
Isn't that enough for you? We've never been in.
You're greedy. We haven't been in 52 years. And here you are just 11 years ago. You've been in this century, this millennia. So this fellow in front of me in a Devin Booker jersey, who is a, excuse me, he's a wedding DJ, excuse me. He's a wedding DJ by trade.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. People do what they got to do to make a living. Leave the guy alone.
I don't think it's much of a living, but
stop
anyway.
Stop that.
Well, I want him to stop.
They do very well, actually. You haven't paid for a wedding. The wedding DJs get paid.
Mm-hmm.
They get paid, dude.
And what are you again? Are you a wedding DJ?
I wish they get paid.
I'm a broadcast partner, what you are. Don't make me choose between Sweet James and Sweet Joe. All right, so this guy in front of me wearing a Booker jersey, I'm shouting defense for my home team, and he turns around and shouts Suns in five.
To your face?
Yeah.
While you're cheering for your team.
Uh-huh.
While you were also trash-talking his team.
And I go, no, I was not.
No, you're saying ugly things saying to him or his
not
wife.
Not at all. Not at all. I didn't even snicker about
his. He turned around and yelled in your
DJ.
Face? Weren't you there with your wife and son?
No, I was solo.
Oh, thank goodness.
My son would have punched him in the face, and my wife would have kicked him in his bag of discs. His discs bag. So... He says Suns in five, and I go, Suns in five. Come on, this ain't the Lakers. And he goes, oh, I like them too. I go, I'm sorry, what? He goes, my favorite teams are the Lakers and the Suns. I go, oh, and the Warriors? And the Warriors? You can't have
the same division.
Division rival favorite teams. You can't. And if here's my thing. You can't like a second team, honestly.
No, you feel that way.
You cannot love with all your heart the Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks. You just can't. You love one team and one team only per sport. Per sport. When you're less casual about a sport, you can say, oh, I love the Dodgers in such and such league and the Angels in the other league because they're not in competing leagues. Or,
right.
Oh, I like the AFC's such and such and the NFC's bluesy blues. But in basketball, you cannot have a division rival. You just can't. You're just a piece of garbage.
Oh, side doesn't understand sports. I'll have a side note to that because we actually have our friend Steve, who sat in front of us for all those years in our seats before we doing
the
Clipcast.
He liked the Lakers, right?
And he liked the Lakers and the Clippers. He also likes the Dodgers and the Rams.
And the Kings.
He loves Los Angeles teams.
Yeah,
but to like. The Suns and then an LA team is very confusing to me.
I think the thing I'm having problems with is I didn't realize this. Obviously, I mean, I always knew Arizona is unbearable in the summer. So a lot of people either A, were, you know, it's not their fault that their horrible nightmare wedding DJ parents were born in Phoenix.
Oh, my gosh. Can you take your foot off the gas?
I know some great people.
No, I haven't, but I know some nice people from Phoenix.
You don't know a nice Suns fan. I promise you. I promise you don't know a nice Suns fan. Can you name a Suns fan?
I don't know.
You're like random wedding DJ.
So, I got this friend, random wedding DJ.
So if
nice.
You were front puked out, excuse me, if you were birthed in Phoenix, you know, it's not your fault. You were born in Tempe. And obviously it's 120 degrees. I'm not even exaggerating. You want to get out of Phoenix. Like you want to get out of Phoenix. The nicest, closest climate is San Diego, I believe. So a lot of Arizona transplants come to Southern California. So that's why they're here. And they're coming to our games. There's 20% Suns fans to 80% Clipper Nation. They are loud. They are dumb. And you're going to see it Wednesday night for
Game 6. So you think that by the time we're done, my peacekeeping, live and let live, everyone's nice, don't talk trash self is going to be losing my mind and hating them? By the time we do the next Clipcast on Wednesday night,
yes,
your feeling is that I will be saying to you, Chris Kowild, I will be saying as Burbank Hank Dittman,
yes,
I hate them. I changed my mind. I was wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
I guess we'll see.
And because the press box is way up, way, way, way up in the catwalks, we're by the cheap seats. We're actually above the cheap seats. The cheap seats are all loud, ignorant Suns fans. It's crazy. It's literally in the cheap seats, it's 50-50, and it's going to drive you
and
bonkers.
We're not supposed to scream at them from the press box.
But we should. But we will. No, we won't, obviously. I literally was like, I can't take this. I went down. I can only handle so much ignorant, loud Suns fans. And so I was just like, screw this. I'm going down, and I'm going to sit close, and I'm not going to deal with any of this nonsense. I did it 2 games in a row. It worked once. It bit me in the butt the second time. But we should have won that game. But Clipper Nation, here we go, Game 6.
Oh, come on.
I mean,
don't count us out yet. Weren't you worried? Weren't you worried when you turned this game on, Clippers Nation? Weren't you thinking, well, man, if we don't have Kawhi and we don't have Serge and now we don't have Zoo, let's just watch this last game. I guess I can get behind Atlanta. I guess I could get excited for the Bucks. And now look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Game 6, Wednesday night.
We know a little bit about that 3-1 ain't the end.
Oh, no.
3-1's not the end. We know that, don't we, Chris?
Oh, we've been on the other side.
We know that very well multiple
Chris
times.
Chris Paul knows what it means to lose a 3-1 advantage.
Oh, he knows that.
Oh, far too well.
He knows that. He'll get a nice call. When we win this, he'll get a nice call from Doc Rivers. It'll say,
it happens all the time to my teams.
You know, it's funny. I guess it was us. I guess it was the two of us.
I think Kawhi Leonard comes back Game 6. That's just me. I'm a crazy
person.
You're
an idiot. You've
I'm a
called
crazy
that
person.
Every game. I love it.
I'm a crazy person.
I love it. You are a crazy person.
I'm a Clippers homer. And what's ironic is arguably, you know, the most famous Clipper fan, I guess, is, you know, I would say it's Billy Crystal. Others could say it's Clipper Darryl. But for people that are truly in the know, the most famous Clipper fan who's been there since the beginning, 1984, is
James L. Brooks,
executive producer of The Simpsons, winner of over 20 Emmys, winner of 3 Academy Awards, wrote and directed Terms of Endearment, Broadcast News. The guy is an icon, loves the Clippers. Follow him on Twitter, @CanyonJim. I just think it's so great that this man is a Clipper fan, because you and I are the biggest Clippers homers of all
yes.
time.
Simpson, Homer Simpson, baby. It just feels good, man.
Oh, homie.
It just feels good. I literally said to my wife, she said, I want to have Chris over to watch the game. She said, great, I love Chris. Have Chris come over. I said, well, you know, babe, could be the last game of the season.
Mm-mm.
She said, oh my gosh, I'm so glad he's coming over then.
Mm-mm.
It's not the last game of the season.
Mm-mm.
Not by a long shot.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Oh, buddy.
Game 6 Wednesday night. We're going to see you there, Clippers Nation. Be loud, be proud. Put your damn t-shirts on.
Oh, hey, let's really make a point of that.
Put your damn t-shirts on.
We outnumber them, but they 80%. Are louder.
Yes.
We
are.
Need to be louder, Clippers yes. Nation. This is not, you've seen now what we can do in a hostile environment. You've seen now what the Clippers can do without your support.
Right.
They need your support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need this. They need to know that you believe in them, that you love them. They couldn't see you in your living room tonight screaming by yourself.
No, they couldn't.
They couldn't see you in your home sports bar screaming and yelling.
If you wear a
really get loud. And by the way,
great Clippers jersey.
When
the
they give you a t-shirt
cover
to wear.
It.
Don't you remember when we played
with
Utah?
Your Clippers t-shirt.
Don't you remember when we played
Take
Utah?
Note. Take
and you
note.
could watch on the TV how they each had a different color t-shirt.
So
it
sick.
Made such an amazing
tapestry.
It made such a united front.
Oh.
Put on the t-shirt.
You're the sixth man, Clippers Nation.
Put on the t-shirt, Clippers Nation.
If you have a really fresh t-shirt that, or really fresh Clippers gear you want to show it off before the game and after the game.
And during the half.
During the half. If you're on Jumbotron, lift up your free t-shirt and show your gear off. Just put the damn t-shirt on.
Also,
and be louder than these Chad Army.
You're not the only person who has that jersey. Your jersey's not more important than us supporting the team.
Also, it's not about you. It's about us.
Oh, yeah.
It's not me. It's we. It's not spotlights. It's street lights.
Don't do this because I really don't like that campaign.
We wouldn't. It should have been Clippers Bucks last year, and that stupid pandemic happened, and that stupid bubble happened, and now it's a real season, and it's really Clippers Bucks. The series that we deserved last season, we're getting this season. Clippers in seven, and then we sweep the Bucks. The Bucks stop on Figueroa.
I'm so glad
championship parade.
I'm so glad we finally did a dip cast. A true dip cast would have been us doing it in the pool.
I feel like it's bad for sound.
It's probably bad for sound. It's also going to sound like we're in a bathtub.
Do you want to take a bath together? I'd take a bath with Brian Seaman. Is that weird? And Brian Seaman will never be back on the show. Hey, finally. You know, I'll take a bath with Sweet Joe and Sweet James, Mike Smith.
And Chris Gowild.
You know, I got Sweet James pregnant, and Mike Smith raised the son as his own. In a Utah Jazz Mormon household.
At this point, we really need to wrap it up because you don't know what you're saying. You're going crazy.
Speaking of Ralph Lawler, before I let you go, we just refused to hit Lawler's Law tonight, but then we finally did, and then the game broke wide open. Continued to. I mean, we led the entire length of the game.
We had control of the game very early on. Wasn't it like 10-2 very early on?
That's the thing. The wins that we've had have been so decisive, and the losses have been like one-point fluky games or games we could have easily won that were in our grasp. Obviously,
games where
two.
We went cold. I was worried when we didn't just start Paul George at the beginning of the fourth because I felt like he was so hot. Sure. And then when he came in, he missed his first shot, and I went, oh, no.
He lost his rhythm.
Did we ice this dude? We didn't ice him.
41 points.
We didn't ice him.
In company with Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant.
Rest in peace.
Kevin Durant. A lot of people in Los Angeles try to argue who's the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. Some people try to put LeBron James in there. He's not in there. He never did that. He never
He's
did
just trailing off.
Kevin Durant did it. Paul George did it. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. Anyway, all right. So toot, toot. Game six, Wednesday night. Toot your horn.
Get loud, Clippers Nation. Do not give your tickets away. Bring friends that are loud. Get loud. Get proud.
Clipper Nation, buy the seats. I think because we didn't have a proper season ticket holder season, that a lot more tickets are up for grabs to randos.
Well, maybe the less people bought the tickets because they weren't sure if there was going to be a season.
Whatever. All I know is
but regardless,
that stadium was packed, and it was 80% Clipper Nation, 20%.
Wear the shirt.
I think they're called Valley Scum. Hashtag Valley Scum.
Also, I live in Burbank. That's the Valley, not whatever that Phoenix thing is. The Valley.
I'm from L.A., and we look down at the Valley, okay?
Easy.
Oh, I'm in the Valley. No, I'm sorry. I'm in the Bomb Patrol Studios, and Brian Seaman will never be on the show either.
Next week, this is Chris Wild by myself bath. With my broadcast partner, my new dog.
And here's my new broadcast partner, Sweet James. Hey, I got the worst beard ever. Hey, there's nothing sweet about James's beard.
He looks like he just put molasses on his face and rubbed it on Trey Young's head.
That's better than anything I was going to say. Because Trey Young's head looks like James.
Oh, it's terrible. James's face. Now, Trey Young's head looks like you took a blow pop and sucked it for 5 minutes and then dropped it on the floor of a high school gymnasium.
Oh, my God.
It's really not
Devin
great.
Booker.
Hey, Devin Booker.
How's that mask working out?
Devin Booker. Booker.
Put your mask back on. You're scaring the children. All right. Game six, Wednesday night.
I really enjoyed Devin Booker's 9 of 22 and Chris Paul's 8 of 19. That was nice shooting tonight from them.
9 of 22.
9 of 22.
8 of
19.
And then Paul George hit 75% of his 15 shots.
15 of 20, dude.
15 of 20.
You tell me nothing.
15. Devin Booker had 9
Chris
of
Paul
22.
Chris Paul had 22 points. Devin Booker had 31.
He had to work his ass off.
Devin Booker had his 31 pretty early in the second half, too.
And the refs left it all out there, but they just didn't have enough to get
They brought the whole thing, man, and it just like... It wasn't enough.
Game six will
They'll get another shot at it.
Toot your horns,
Los
Clipper
Angeles.
Nation.
Toot, toot.
Toot those horns. Toot, toot. Going to game six, baby. Sound the horn.
Have some fun, it's okay. I'm loving. got Brian Seaman, Paul George, Hank, and Chris. Suns fans suck a bag of discs. Just Kevin's. Go, go, go! I said, hey, hey!
Toot, 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 toot. See you game six.
Yes.